It's July 25th, 2017. It's 10:08 a.m. and I'm en route to a hike that is EMF reduced and still has one active stream. So I'll be able to rinse off in it some, or at least stand in it and not put the water over my head, because the water is, even from the spring, there's some contaminants in it that I believe are due to the spraying of our atmosphere. But this is a happy note for the most part. I've been sensitive to, my heightened awareness to electromagnetic field occurred in the fall of 1994. So that's almost 23 years ago. And since that time, I've been dealing with this extraordinary awareness. And it wasn't, and then it was also in the fall of 94 that I had my first negative experience with it. And that was when I was in I had an MRI done on my left knee. I had a partial tear of my anterior cruciate ligament, which is an important ligament, and it's impaired right now. But anyways, inside the MRI, I had just horrific sensations, pain in my chest, my head. It was just bad news, just ripping me apart on a subtle level. And I canceled, I said, hey, get me the fuck out of there, I don't want Valium, I don't want earplugs, that's not what's going on here. It's not a paranoid episode. I'm having a subtle energy system emergency inside of this General Electric demonic device. And it was about, it was a year and a half later that I had, or a year and a couple months later that I had another sort of increase or ratcheting up of my sensitivity, such that I felt every tower, any radiation source in my environment was like, not only was it just a source of irritation to me, that is, pressure in the eyes, pressure in the brain, pain throughout my body, stabbing pains in most of my endocrine glands and their associated subtly enhanced nerve plexuses, but it was a hot wind. I mean, from everything in my environment, it was like a directionality. I had several experiences of coming out of a protected hiking area, and then with basically only in a remote area with only like one tower in line of sight, I would Well, I was going 80 and a cop just passed me. Thank you, cop, for not getting me. Also, I have a nano iPod to my face, and one time a cop turned on his speakers on the highway and said, put away your cell phone. Well, it's not a cell phone. It is a form of distracted driving, but not as distracted as talking to someone who's not in the car. Those conversations apparently are more negatively impacting of your attention to the dangers and the hazards that present themselves on the road. But anyways, luckily he was just running ahead of me, so didn't worry about my dictation device here. Anyways, so coming out of these valleys, I was hit not just with overwhelming sense of irritation, but actually like it was a hot wind. It was, and I've described this elsewhere at my website in various transcriptions, but it was extraordinary. It was like I was like a sail, catching a northern gale, or wherever, from whatever, a westerly wind. It was seriously a form of energy that I felt like where it was coming from. And it was like I could feel it actually blowing through me. It was awful. Brutal. And then at that time, I you know, where I lived was bad news, and it was just, you know, luckily, you know, I was finally tenured in my teaching position at the time. It had taken me like 5 years or something to get it, because I was going to school at University of Hawaii at Manoa, and was hired as an intern, and so was not getting probationary credit. You know, that is, I was on a temporary contract for the first 2 years or 3 years, whatever it was, until I had the proper credential. Anyway, so fast forward, it's been basically just a slow, degrading, grinding situation where, you know, I haven't, my body has tried to adapt my, all of my systems, you know, my vascular, my cardiovascular, my, you know, that all of my veins, and they got all dilated. I mean, I went through a period of like a year or two where I had like stabbing pain in all of my, in fucking every blood vessel of my body, little by little, everything. And I noticed in some of these areas in my legs where, you know, in a period of a week or two of pain, my vein became larger and more visible. And I just think they are trying to become less conductive of EMF is the best I can explain it. And, I was trying to just, my body was trying to assume a less vital, healthful condition in order to be less to have less of an amplifying effect or amplifying function upon the reception of unnatural foreign electromagnetic field. I guess it did it. I mean, it did as best as it could, but anyway, so, you know, I mean, but that's not good. You know, I was made less healthy to become less receptive, but it was certainly not good enough. It was good enough perhaps to keep me sane. And then all that time, I mean, I haven't been able to really sit upright. Anything that you know, increases your focus and coherence as a body mind, is something that I couldn't pursue, because it would mean that my amplification of EMF would be that much greater. You know, the more vital, the stronger you are, the more conductive you are of everything. And, you know, the bad stuff is the bad stuff. You can't really, the body's not able to filter that out. So here I am today, you know, prematurely graying, you know, my hair, you know, skin, everything. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm basically a wreck compared to what I should have been, you know, at this point, you know. And my living arrangement right now for the past, heck, not just here, but when I was living in Ventura County, you know, I was living in Ojai for 4 years, teaching down in closer to the ocean, because the pay was better. You know, the Ojai School District is just beyond bad, you know, in terms of its pay. It's abysmal. It's insulting. So most anyone who could, you know, if they don't mind driving a half hour, you know, they take jobs down below, as it is up in this valley. But anyways, the 5 years I've been in Coachella Valley, the 4 years I was in Ojai, you know, this past 9 years I have not been able to hike daily or even, you know, to exercise daily. I've had to drive an hour or two in order, you know, in order to get to places with a sufficiently reduced electromagnetic field where I could exercise. Because for me, exercising is like, you know, a tuning fork. It's a calibration. My body is just cohering. You know, it's coming together, all aspects of me with the natural environment, and I become much more attuned to the good stuff and the bad stuff. And so especially when I'm there, you know, as I'm breathing and body, you know, heart's pumping rapidly, and I'm breathing deeply. I just need to be in a place where it's safe to do that, or as safe as I can achieve. And so I have, you know, I'm at a place now where I'm maybe hiking 3 days a week, which is not good enough, but it's the best I can do in the present circumstances. But here's a couple good things I want to say, you know, the point of this memo this morning. A, you know, the first is that I am moving forward on plans to create a more EMF protected area there in this urban environment that I live in. And I'll just, you know, I'm gonna, you know, not say too much more except that there are enclosures, you know, that are either, you know, like copper mesh material, you know, panels. There's like galvanized steel type of modular panels. And there are also, I'm working on a couple different fronts, and there's also other types of materials that allow you, you know, that's like a freestanding system. I'm looking at that, and I'm also looking at these strategies. There's some companies online that, you know, get into this, you know, go to Less EMF or a .com, or there's others, I forget their names, but they have materials that allow you to basically retrofit a conventional, you know, room in a house so that you're reducing your ambient EMF in the room by, I don't know, 80, 90, 95%. And that, you know, the strategies involved include reflective and EMF reflective and EMF absorptive paints. So you apply a couple of coats of that to the paint, to the walls. Special grounding for that paint into the floor. Paint and other materials for the flooring. That you then you put a conventional floor above it. And then some special reflective, EMF reflective curtains that you hang in front of the windows. And so I'm looking at that as well. And, you know, I'm looking at a price tag of 5, 10, 15 grand, something in that neighborhood, which is doable, especially for, you know, something that's so important to my health. It's just incredible how intellectually and spiritually frustrated I am, and the lack of productivity, the lack of self-actualization that I experience in areas of, you know, where I am, my, you know, with the EMF levels are compromising me, compromising my functions. You know, I'll be sitting there, you know, in 5 minutes or 20 minutes at my desk trying to rewrite an essay for my website, or write, you know, transcribe a microcassette or whatever I'm doing in what used to take, you know, when I lived on the Big Island in a better area for me, it would be probably 2 hours before my brain, like, froze over, you know, in terms of just conducting too much harmful EMF and just causing a short circuit in me where I would have to stop and do something else. Now, I get to that state within, literally, I'd say instantaneously. As soon as my brain hits a higher function, I can feel like my mind go into, like, you know, fifth gear or overdrive, where it's starting to function at a creative, aspirational, spiritual level. And right there, it is like shut down. It's kind of like, you know, those, it's not a great analogy, but in some of the Dawn of the Dead movies, you'd have these, like a helicopter rescue, and the blades are still flying, you know, still spinning on the top blade of the helicopter, but some of the zombies are coming at you, and they stand up and their heads are lopped off, or half of their head is lopped off by the helicopter, the rotating blade. And it's kind of like that, you know, you get to a high level and it is just, your higher function is just lopped off like one of those zombie brains. You know, that's my experience. It truly is my experience. And so I'm thinking in the next month or two, it's going to happen. I'm finally going to do it. I'm looking at a couple of options. I may pursue multiple ones, and I've got the funds. I've got a family member willing to loan me some dough for this, and I ought to be able to pay it back over a couple year period of time. So I'm happy about that. You need to, because part of it, even though I do intend to relocate to another area, I'm not quite ready for that, and it's worth it to me financially to make a stand, see if I can't cohabitate with this technology that is metastasizing and worsening. You know, I definitely wanted to get something in place before the 5G comes again. The Coachella Music Festival, there's a month period of time where that, between that and the what they call Stagecoach, a country music festival. Between the two festivals, I think they decided that they were going to ratchet up their EMF in the area to support the much greater bandwidth of this requirements for this influx of hundreds of thousands of people who are from cities for the most, you know, urban areas for the most part that have come to expect, much greater data streaming abilities. So I'm going to give it a go. And now here's a more explicitly sort of spiritual spiritual symptom thing. How do I explain this? Yeah, I'll just say it. As a special ed teacher, I have volunteers in my classroom. You know, kids that are working on, getting civil, what's a word for it? You know, when you're doing community service, working on your civil skills, you know, that is helping others, and, so working in a special ed classroom for non-handicapped kids is a real benefit. You're learning some teaching skills, you're learning a lot of helping skills, etc. And so, you know, many years I'll have kids, some years I won't, but I had students this year helping me out, and one of them was this, beautiful girl, but she had, I'll say a couple things about her. One is, the first day in the room, the group of kids are sitting at this desk and I'm kind of addressing them. And we make eye contact. We hold eye contact for, 5 seconds. I don't know what it was. More than just a passing glance. And I see a quiver. I see a quiver of like an electromagnetic wave go through her and like some light around her, but certainly there was like a quivering of energy from her, coming from her head down to her toes, although I could only see to her waist, let's say, but definitely there was an energetic flux through her upon looking at me, or after considering me, or feeling me, that was associated with like a physical, emotional softening of her whole demeanor towards me. That wasn't really obvious on like a purely physical, dimension. It was something I felt. It was something that I implicitly understood. And, she didn't really, it wasn't a smile. It was like a You have some gurus talking about, well, they want to be recognized. You know, it's important to be, you know, recognize the guru. I was recognized, you know, or, you know, I certainly recognize her, but she saw me and had a subtle, like, energy response to me that, I mean, if someone gets me on a subtle level, I mean, that is such an aphrodisiac. I mean, I live for that. I'm not looking for someone who's cute necessarily, or witty, or shares my political views, or, you know, any of that mundane stuff. I'm for the energetic fireworks. I'm sorry. I really am. And, you know, I'm a slut for energy. I'm an energy whore. I really am. It's all about energy for me. And, it's just what it is. And I was trying to write this essay about some aspects of this interaction with this girl this year, you know, but it's like 14 pages long, and, you know, it's just like lost in the, I'm just lost in the wilderness on that whole essay. And, the point of the matter is, you know, I brought up how I've had some relationships in the past, and, you know, hey, woman might have had an attractive voice, attractive body, I don't know, various attractive things, and we might have made love or been together for some time, but it was never enough for me. I always wanted something more. And, you know, without getting into, you know, the decadence and immorality of the self-involved seeker of today, you know, that can't maintain relationships or be monogamous or be there for the kids or all these moral failings. I don't even want to go there right now. You know, I don't have children, so it's not like I have abandoned anyone at this point. But, you know, I get this thing that it's, you know, it can't just be me all the time. But, you know, I'm sorry. It's been that. It is that way for me in many respects. And I think part of it has been my search for an energetic partner that is a better match for me on a subtle level. I also have probably 100 pages of write-ups on this woman, young lady, early 20s, but two kids, girl in Hawaii that worked at, that was a mother of some kids at the school, or a kid at the school, and also happened to be an employee for a while. And I even had one of her, she had a special needs girl in my class, in my special ed preschool that I had. But she was a bad witch. I mean, she was the most powerful woman I've ever met energetically. She was able to throw some crazy, crazy vibrations your way. Like I've had the most extraordinary, like, she's communicating with me like telepathically or energetically that she wants to fuck me. I mean, it is the most visceral, come on a subtle level that you could possibly imagine. Meanwhile, her face is expressionless, and there we are, you know, in the gym doing stretches with our little class, and she's sending me this vibration her way. And there's a whole bunch of other things she did, you know, could make this warmth and feelings come up in my chest and solar plexus. I have to go look at my notes to get it all right, but, I'll cut to the chase on her. She was after your soul. I mean that. Oh, yeah. She wanted to own me on a subtle level. She wanted me to replace God with her. I'm not fucking joking. And you know what? She had the mojo to pull that off with some guys, but the guy, the father of her two children, was a drug addict. And so, you know, he was lost from the get-go. And so it was pretty easy pickings for her, you know, in terms of a displacement of self in focusing it on her. But when you hear these groups like Santana talk, you know, with songs called Evil Woman, there are some evil women out there who have just, I don't know if it's transformative is the word, but powerful, energetic capacity on a subtle level that can masquerade as God consciousness. I mean, it's not really God. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's definitely an altered perception, an altered reality that you're entering into that is, that shares many of the symptoms and feelings and capacities that are, you know, associated with the yogic traditions, with the kundalini development. There is a lot of crossover. These women are expressions of Shakti in many ways. They're dangerous. They can be dangerous. But this girl was bad news. She wanted me bad too. I mean, I got reams of paper of my notes of just the latest on what she was doing with me. And there was one time where she thought that she had me, you know, had my spiritual center of gravity had shifted to her, she thought. And so she was ready to give herself to me, but only in a cruel, commanding position. I could finally fuck her, you know, have sex with her, because she was gorgeous and just had this energy about her. And when she saw that, you know what, it was a charade and I was playing energy games with her, and yeah, I wanted to be with her, but not as her slave, she was furious, and that was it. But we still had to, it was just bizarre. It was bizarre. But it was fun. I mean, I live for that stuff in the sense of, you know, that is the future of human development, is responsible, energetic play. And, you know, we live in such a mechanistic, materialistic culture that, you know, we're so far away from these discussions and having a, you know, rational debate about you know, the truth and the origin of these subtle vibrations, you know, that it's, anyway, so it was very important. It's very important. But this girl in my class this year was, I'm not sure that she was, I don't think she's as powerful as this, black temptress in Hawaii. I don't think so, but I don't know. You know, we'll see where she goes in her development. But she, I'm starting to lose my, I'm in high EMF areas on this 10 freeway, and I'm starting to lose it here. This is a very bad corridor here going down Yucaipa into San Bernardino, where I hit the 215 and the 15. It gets better once I'm on the 15. This is cruel. I'm going to put it on pause right now. All right, where was I? I'm a little bit fried right now, and I'll try to finish this entry. Basically, there is a number of energetic exchanges between me and this student where it became clear to me that she was functioning on a subtle level, and that she was very attracted to me but wanted me on the subtle level as well. And I have some initial forays into an essay on this, where what a woman's purpose is, and it's basically to consume her man. Physically, sexually, subtly, and financially, you know, to support her offspring. But it has a subtle component to it. But I view this girl as, you know, the gal in Hawaii was a bad witch, then this girl is a good witch. You know, she is still got some of the same, you know, lack of excessive verbal, you know. She uses words sparingly and is quite conscious of subtle energy exchanges and is quite sexual and physical as well, but is very much interested in a subtle communion and consumption. And I want her to consume me on a subtle level. Why not? And I don't think, though, that she has, I think, too much honesty and goodness in her to, you know, fall into the black arts. I don't really know, you know, where she'll go in, say, 5 years or whatever, you know, moving on into adulthood and her 20s. But with future experiences with men, how she will change her behavior, her expectations, her goals, you know, with men, you know, her orientation can change dramatically based on, you know, what she perceives to be the you know, what she has to do to survive, to win, to get what she wants, etc. But right now there's still some freedom there, and I'm all for her consuming me on a subtle level. But here's, because I'm going to get to something that that happened to me. When was this? The last time I was hiking, what did I say, Tuesday? So it happened on Sunday, but we had some interactions, and she confirmed, you know, that, well, not directly, but she and I came to be thinking about each other periodically at certain times of the day where we would feel each other, at night, in the middle of the night, late at night, during the day, on a weekend, because we had enough interactions, enough contact with each other, that there was enough there to really build out and secure our subtle, let's say, tendrils into each other without having much physical contact, or, you know, certainly no sexual contact. But enough there that there was a basis for the subtle energies to persist in terms of tying us. And like there was this one night some months back where I have never been so thrashed and thrown subtly. My chest, my solar plexus, it wasn't sexual, it was just like tidal waves hitting me. And, I mean, it was a little abusive, I suppose, but it was almost like an adolescent girl exploring her energies and being frustrated that with my having this position I have, you know, as a school teacher and an adult, you know, I can have really no contact or relations of any emotional or romantic type with her, even though she's in various ways have said that she, you know, has told me that she's quite ready for it, interested in it, but it's not something we could realize right now, which is, you know, it is what it is, you know. Different laws were in place, you know, different expectations in place, I'd be more than game. But in this environment, in this world, you know, someone needs to be 18 years old and out of high school to go out with a school teacher, and that's, if I want to keep my job, you know, that's a rule I need to abide by, and I am. I'm not gonna 86 my job, my career for her. You know, it would be a short-lived fling for sure. Because the misdeed would catch up to me in short order. But you know, that, and so, but we would have these feelings, and I would be like, oh my God, I mean, it was just some sexual stuff, just like unbelievable. I've never had this, of just like my, like a suction on my, at the base of my penis, that just like I was inside of her or something, and yet I wasn't. And it wasn't even something I was fantasizing about. It just came upon me. And, you know, and, you know, we're, I don't know, 20 miles apart or whatever it is, and, you know, yet these feelings are going on, but it was very interesting, this play, and to know that, let's say, I'm lying down in bed shortly after 9, and she's ready for me to place my energy, my attention upon her, and I feel her reciprocating with various things happening in my chest and or my sexual area or, you know, my solar plexus, and dozens and dozens of times. And I've never had it quite like this before, especially with someone who's conscious of this. And what I found so striking about her is that she really went out of her way to be in my classroom. You know, she was, you know, when she was finished with her work and other classes, she would sometimes get released to come help me, and you know, teenagers often will want to stick with their pack. You know, they haven't quite individuated, but this girl's quite ready to peel off and be with someone. And but it's been harder, you know, over the summer, you know, as time grinds on, and a lack of interaction on a material level, it does become harder to support this subtle connection. And then I've also found that, given the EMF soup that I'm immersed in at my home, it does frustrate my ability to focus my attention on a subtle level and to reach out and connect with someone. But I've been able to do it pretty regularly, but it takes a lot of effort, and it's actually tiresome, you know. At some point it just becomes tiresome because I'm working against such static, energetic chaos in my environment on a subtle level with these towers. And one of them is only like a half mile away, and it's worse than it was. But so it was a Sunday, well, I'll just back up. In the past week, I've had more feelings in my chest, my solar plexus. I've had some interesting pains in my testicles, in my thymus gland, in my thyroid, and in various areas of my brain that I haven't had in a while. I haven't felt my gonads light up near towers in I don't know, more than a year, perhaps years. And I've been feeling these sort of, I would describe it as, lurchings or, as you're starting up an engine for the first time in a while, you get some backfiring and whatnot. And so these are all signs of my subtle energy system trying to come back into alignment again for the purpose of, some broader, coherent, energetic conduction of spiritual force. And so this was going on. And then on Saturday, when I had this almost 7-hour hike, and it was like 85, 90 degrees, so it was grueling, fair amount of elevation gain. I mean, grueling is the wrong word. It was trying. Grueling would be 95 degrees or more. I've done grueling before, and I don't like it. But and so there I am dragging myself through this hike. But what was interesting about it was, like, the energetic drag of my entire body mind. It's like my whole body mind, my consciousness is moving through this force field of resistance that's not on a physical level. There is some physical, of course it's going to be physically challenging in some respects, but when you've been playing with this stuff as long as I have, the difference between mere physical challenge and something that's more challenging on a subtle level. And I was in this, normally this sense of like just pushing through something or having some sort of holistic field of resistance that you're working against, but that's not painful. It's just sort of like an emotional glue. It's not, you could call it frustrating, but it wasn't painful. It wasn't like an unnatural or, it was not something that was painful or unnatural or something that I would associate with my electromagnetic exposures. No, it was more, again, on a subtle level, emotional level, I was just, every step I took was effortful, moving through and with this, into this and through this like vacuum seal on my state of being. I was trying to push out of where I was into something new. I mean, that's the way you kind of look at it or interpret it, because in the past, typically, especially prior to the EMF becoming a problem, I had days and days of like working through these emotional tar pits. That's all you can call it. It's emotional quicksand. It's energetic quicksand. And all you can do when you're up against these, developmental miasmas, really, for lack of a better word, these are milestones. I mean, you're working through, gotta pass this utility truck, and I turned off my AC for a moment. Okay, get into the slow lane, let the guy behind me pass me. And what you do in these situations is they develop your will. Provided there's no, your mind has not identified that any particular issue that needs to be addressed. That is, you've got enough food, you've got adequate shelter, your job, your social relations are all, if not perfect, then at least livable. And certainly nothing different than the day before or the month before. You're just working with whatever you've had before. And so you just hit these energetic walls or barriers. And again, there's like a stretching feeling a little bit. Like you're actually pushing against this like rubberized seal. And, you know, and at some point, with each step of the hike that you take, with each mental act that you take, that everything that the body-mind does when you're pushing up against this is effortful. It takes a serious act of will just to move forward. And what you find is, if you persist in that, not in an aggressive or antagonistic, you know, competitive, whatever, you know, mode. It's just patient, compassionate, step, persistent, unrelenting, step by step by step by step by step. And eventually, there's a shift. You pop through, something, you know, something rearranges itself, and you find yourself in a state of new possibilities. And so it was the case that this past Saturday, I haven't had this sort of wall, emotional glue of resistance in some time. And I was working with it all day long. And it never let up. I felt pretty good, like I had accomplished something after the hike. Driving home, I felt, on a subtle level, kind of satisfied. Not that I had achieved anything remarkable. It was just I'd persisted, and whatever it was, you know, I had moved, moved the ball down the football field a few yards. I mean, but it's really an inward, interior focus. But, and so it was on Sunday. The next day, I'm kind of wiped out because, you know, I'm driving 300 miles. You know, it's a long, driving 5 hours or whatever, you know, round trip to get to this location. And, so often on the day after, in my current, you know, this current arrangement, I wouldn't be so wiped out if I were just rolling out of bed and going on a hike near my house, you know, if I were living in the high desert, but I'm not there yet. So I do have more of a recuperation that's required, and that's why, you know, I'm waiting 2 days before I go back doing this again, because it's, you know, it's costly, it's, energetically, financially, it's just a boondoggle, but it's the best I can do in my current situation. Gasoline truck. Anyways, so I'm lying down on Sunday, and finally, for the first time in a week or week and a half, I have enough energy in me that I'm able to focus on this girl. And I visualize different things, like laying my hands on her hips, touching her shoulder, or just standing just a few inches from each other, looking at each other, or just being near each other, and just feeling that energy between us. It's not sexual for the most part, but I want to feel that connection, and I want her to know that, you know what, I'm thinking about you. You know, I want, and because this has been a learning experience for her. I know it has. And I think she's thrilled by, she's thrilled with having someone that she's not only physically attracted to, but for whom there's a great deal of energetic understanding and play between us. And she knows that I'm willing to submit to her. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm even willing to, if I can afford it, you know, I don't want her to deal with the bullshit of the modern world. I like to have her stay at home and maybe even have a kid or two, which I haven't done yet. You know, my mom has no grandkids yet. My mother has two boys, and neither of them have produced offspring for her. I mean, grandchildren, and I think she'd be thrilled. And I know that she would like this girl. Anyways, so I'm lying down there and thinking about her some, and what am I doing? I'm picturing us standing next to each other, maybe my lying down on top of her, but our clothes are on. And then again, it's the contact of my hand on her body somewhere, you know, where there, and when I do that, if I'm thinking properly, that is, if I have sufficient concentration, I'm able to really project a fair amount of energy her way, and usually I will feel it a sync with her and like a reciprocal charge coming my way or a blast coming my way. And this time, so I'm thinking about her and I'm not feeling really anything in my chest so much. But I do feel kind of, you know, my whole body's kind of aligned with her. And then I feel my chest light up, my brachial plexus, my nerves on both sides of my chest, both sides of my thymus gland, kind of light up. Not, you know, not to the extent that they did that night in July of 1994. You know, that was massive. That was overpowering. That was pristine. That was the unsullied brachial plexus coming to life with the descending force of Kundalini and, you know, whatever. I mean, it was, you know, there it was. But it was an approximation of that. I didn't feel the entire length of my nerves, but I did feel portions of them come to life with a fair amount of energy in them. And so I really do think that she sent energy to me, and it was more of like a burst, and it was just to let me know that, hey, I'm here, thank you, I love you, goodbye. Because I'm there lying down, not knowing whether I want to masturbate or what, and probably for the next 20 minutes or more, I'm thinking about her, but you know, she doesn't come back a whole lot to continue the rapport, because it's the middle, it's like 2 o'clock, she's probably busy. I mean, who knows, you know? It's a little bit different than later at night, and she's not, anyways, so. Anyway, so I get a response from her, and I would call it a transmission of Shakti from my lady, my girl. Thank you. And so it was probably a half hour later, I'm still lying down, and maybe I finally turned off the radio. I listened to radio, you know, YouTube. My mom was asking me, like, what am I doing at the computer? I've been spending too much time at the computer, you know, that's for sure. I wouldn't be if I were in a less hostile environment. I would be doing more chores around the house, and I'd be out exercising more, but lying down and listening to various political talk shows, political exposés, it's, you know, I'm probably, you know, I'm in there, you know, probably listening to stuff or doing, you know, at YouTube, probably 4 to 6 hours a day. maybe 4 hours a day. I don't know. It's a lot. And but I'm lying down. Maybe I've turned off the radio because I just want to focus on this presence. Hold on. I got to be tailgating this guy so that the people behind me can get around him when we hit the passing lane. He's going 70 and a 65. I don't like it when semi-trucks speed. Hold on, let me pause this. So there I am, lying down. Okay, past the guy. Good. There's a passing lane. And now that lane is gone, and we got ahead of that truck, and don't want to be distracted too much. And people die in this. This is the Pear Blossom Highway, and it's like Croke Central up here, because it's a two-lane highway with people going 75 on it in each direction, and people passing on double yellows frequently. I mean, it is madness up here. Plus, it's methamphetamine city. You know, there's all sorts of drug-addled people on the roads. It's not a good place to not be paying attention when you're driving. So there I am. I'm lying down. I'm in a energetically infused place just from my excellent hike the day before and the spiritual work I engaged the day before and the days and the week before. And I just had a transmission from this wonderful good witch that wants me. And you know what? I love to have a witch have my kid. I want my kid to have subtle mojo. I want my kid to have subtle understanding. And if we could have an honest, good relationship, you know, where it's not an abusive energy, because I have a feeling that a lot of these women that have this power, you know, given their response to all the abuse that men heap on them, or a lot of men do, they tend to be more controlling and destroying, destructive. And I'm thinking that this girl is not going to be that way. But anyways, I would love to plant my seed in a person like this, in a woman like this. So we'll see if that comes to be when she, you know, gets out of school and she's thinking about what her future is going to look like, you know, if she's going to think about me, come back to me. But anyway, so I'm lying down there and I feel a weight and an energetic presence in the entirety of my chest. That is from nipple to nipple, from throat down to nipple, to thymus, that whole region from my throat to my nipples and to my thymus, that whole chest and throat region was heavy and full. Full of feeling, weight, and subtle presence. And at the same time, there was a feeling of a weight and desire for displacement of my consciousness that still resides at the center of my head. It doesn't belong there. It's like a ghost in the shell. It doesn't fucking belong there, and it's been stuck there for 23 years. I've got the greatest case of spiritual blue balls that's probably ever happened. You know? I've had a consciousness, a misplaced consciousness for 23 long years. And so, you know, there I am, lying down with, you know, doors of perception laid open to me, and I consider the fact that, yeah, I do feel quite a lot of, because at the same time, I've been feeling more sensitive to the tower near the house. I've been feeling irritated and imbalanced by it more than usual. And that's not surprising, because I've also had increased, you know, just subtle energy perceptions. And so, of course, the subtle pollution is going to be more visible, more perceptible to me as well. This guy. Right. And it was persistent, this opportunity, for, I don't know, a couple minutes maybe. And, but my mind, who's looking at this, my Ajna chakra, my wisdom function, the navigator upstairs, took into consideration, okay, you know, you don't know. You know, what's going to happen if this tower that's a half a mile from the house becomes intolerable? What are your options? And I don't have any right now. I don't. There's hardly anywhere that's really safe for me. That's certainly within proximity of where I work. And so I'm not able to tolerate right now or risk being ejected from my home. I can't tolerate it financially, professionally, a whole bunch of ways. And I also thought in my head that, hey, I'm making progress here. I'm going to be shielding my room or creating some safe space for me in that house shortly. At which case I will revisit this opportunity, or I would be open to it. And so really in a minute's time, I shut it down and just say, hey, you know what? Not now, even though I've been waiting 23 years. And I haven't had, this is rare. I haven't had an invitation quite like this in some time, but you know, it's July, I'm out of school, I have free time, I don't have a family to consume my external attention, and in many ways, you know, July is, if you're unencumbered, July is a great time to make spiritual progress, to take spiritual leaps, to take a chance. But so I wanted to say that I had an opportunity for self-transcendence and achieve a heart-centered consciousness this past Sunday, 2 days ago. And I forestalled it. And I'm hopeful that this opportunity will present itself again to me. And I just need to be certain that I have some shelter that I can resort to, at least, you know, on a nightly basis for sleeping and replenishment. And I have no doubt that subtle vibrations, that this connection I have with this girl will persist even in a shielded room or a Faraday cage, because I think consciousness, subtle energy, transcends all of that. As a, you know, unlike wireless technology, which is repelled from these, is reflected by these shielded materials. And that's it for now. I'm getting pretty close to the hiking spot. Over and out.